one of the things, good things in preaching in English is that I don't need to look for the watch because it's always short message. I like that. I like that. What a wonderful song. All power is given unto me. It's one of the things that the Lord said to us. He said, you will go with the power of the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What a wonderful thing that the gospel is preaching in every part of the world. And you can go around the world and find Christians, sisters and brothers in the Lord. And it's something that immediately there is that bond. It's really very, very, very dear to our hearts. We explain that to some of people in Olot. My wife, she was taking some English classes, and they told her about the trip that we are making. And we explained a little bit, and they could not understand. They said, are you telling me that you are going to be 3 months, and you are going to be in houses and having meals with people that maybe you don't know? Yes. Well, that sounds very strange. Are you telling me that somebody is lending you the car? Yes, for 3 months. They cannot understand it. We understand that because we are a family in one sense. We are brothers and sisters around the world, and we share the same thing. We share the communion with the Son, and it's a wonderful thing. We have the Holy Spirit, and we are one body, one believer. They cannot understand that. And so we have a purpose in life. We have a purpose in life. The purpose is to be obedient to God, to serve Him with all our hearts, and to know the will of the Lord for our lives. I had my teacher in the Bible school always said that to me. He said, you need to know the will of God. You need to do the will of God. But remember, you need to finish the will of God. It's dangerous. We live in a danger world where there are so many things that can stop us to do the will of God and even to finish the will of God. There was one man in history, a well-known man, Leonardo da Vinci. I know that you have heard about him. He was one of the wisest men after Solomon. That's what they say. But he did all kinds of things. He was a painter, he was an artist, he was an inventor, but he had one problem. He hardly finished the work. He hardly can finish the work. He did several works, as you remember, La Santa Cena, The Last Supper, La Gioconda, and some other things, but he can hardly finish the job. So the empires or the emperors of that time said, do not hire that man. He never finished work. When I read that, it was a thick book, and when I read that, I said, oh, what a wonderful thing. That the one that start the work in me, he will perform it and finish. He's a wise God who begins the work and finish the work. He will perfect us to be like his Son. So the Apostle Paul was that kind of man in the sense that saying, Lord, what do you want for me to do? Tell me, what do you want for me to do? I want to know the will of God. I want to do the will of God, and I want to finish the will of God. And you remember how he finished the will of God. In 2 Timothy, he said, I have finished the course. The only thing that remains is the crown that God will give us. But I have finished. What a wonderful life to believe, to know Christ, to serve him with all our hearts, and just to finish, and to finish well, to finish well. Not with angry, not with looking behind and saying, no, just looking ahead and saying, no, I'm going to finish well, with obedience and with a heart with fervency for the Lord. The Apostle Paul was that man in one sense. You remember, he got saved and he had a purpose in his life. And the purpose in his life was to know Christ. Remember Philippians chapter 3. My end is to embrace him like he has embraced me. It's a very nice picture that when God has saved us, he embraced us. And he said, the goal of my life is to embrace Christ the same way that he has embraced me. In Spain, we really hug each other. We do hugs like, you know, like this. And then there was one brother in the church that really hugs you. It's like, yeah, okay. And he cannot let you go for 3 seconds. And it's like saying, brother, I really love you. I really love you. There is a lady in our church that embraced my wife. And she just goes that way, you know. It's like saying, yes, it is something. When Christ, he has not only saved us, he has embraced us with his love. And it's so powerful that I want to embrace also that. The Apostle Paul says that, I want that. The goal of my life is to know Christ, the power of the resurrection of Christ. So that my goal will be that when I will stand there at the last hour, I can say, I have tried to live my life to know Christ, to do the will of God, and to finish. And the Apostle Paul, in one sense, was that kind of man. And he said, I want to preach the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I want to preach this gospel to everyone. Look, open your Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 1. I think I shared this with you in the past, but my thoughts came to this verse in Romans chapter 1. So powerful, this chapter, chapter 1, in verse 14. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Look at the phrase. It says, I am debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians. There is a circle in our lives. We call it the circle of influence. It's a wonderful circle. God has given us, to every one of us, a circle of influence. It will be impossible for you to reach the Spaniards. It will be impossible for me to reach the Chinese people. It will be for me impossible to reach the people in Pennsylvania or New York. God has given every one of us a circle. It's called the circle of influence. Even the Lord Jesus Christ had that circle. He had the world. He had Israel. He had the disciples, the 12, the 3, and 1, John. It's that circle of influence. And Paul was saying, I have that circle in my life, and I am a debtor to everyone that will come to the circle of influence in my life. And Paul was feeling that. It's something that I need to do. I feel that I need to preach that gospel to anyone that will come to the circle of influence. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have an accent here in the States. It draws people. Today I was in the store, and it was a funny story. And I was waiting for my wife, and the lady in the store saw me there, that we were not from the States. And she told me, do you have a big plans for today? Is what she told me. Do you have a big plans for today? Right away. I said, excuse me? Do you have a big plans for today? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I have a big plans for today, yes. I'm a Christian. I'm a missionary. We are in North Hills Bible Church. We have a missionary conference, and we are having a good time. Yeah. You have always big plans when you have the Lord. And she just got red and changed the subject and said, oh, you are going to do a lot of traveling. Traveling does not have anything to do with big plans. The big plans are you need the Lord. What happened in that moment is that that lady came to the circle of influence of my life. And in one sense, I was responsible just to let her know there is God there. And Paul says, I am a debtor to anyone that will come to that circle, be Greek or barbarian. The Greek were the ones, the intelligent people. And the barbarians were the ones who could not speak the language. So that's the word, barbarian, the bubble. A barbarian, okay. So the Paul was saying, anyone, the gospel that I have been embraced is so powerful in me, like saying, that I need, in one sense, I feel that I am a debtor to anyone that will come. And it's saying, to the wise and to the unwise, that's the gospel. To the little ones, to the old ones, to anybody that will come to that circle. And really is a wonderful thing. But he's not only saying this. Look at what he's saying in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. The gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, I am a debtor. But second thing, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel. Oh, in our presentation, we request prayer for boldness to preach the gospel. It does not come from me easily. I'm sorry. It does not come from me easily. Yeah. I don't know if to you will have that gift, but I need to make an effort in my life to be ready. Sometimes I'm saying, you know, it's not the moment. Sometimes I say, it will not be appropriate in that situation. And I just try to sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Does it happen to you too? I hope not. But for me, my wife and I, we have request that boldness to be ready to preach the gospel. Ready. Here in the States, it seems like everything is going very, very fast. The other day I was coming to church, and somebody has lent me the car, so I'm very, very careful not to speed. So I was going 40 miles an hour on Road 30 coming here, and there was a car behind me, and I was looking all the time and say, he is also going 40. When we arrived to the church, that person approached me and said, I was behind your car. He said, I knew that you were going to church. I said to my wife, the man, he is going to church. He's not speeding 40. He goes 40. You know, but here in the state, it seems that everything needs to be really ready, fast. You know? Oh, my, if we will be in such a way that we will be ready just to tell a lady, yes, there is Christ who has embraced me, who has embraced you and give you salvation. Paul was that kind of man. Remember what he said in Romans, my prayer for Israel is for salvation. Oh, I hope, he said. It's like saying, I prefer to be condemned, that my people will be safe, something like that. He said, I cannot translate it in English, but he said that. He was ready for that. And I think in a missionary conference, we will be good if we will consider those things, not only to talk about missions, but to know the will of God for my life, what I'm going to do with my life, even the teenagers. It will be good for your early years to know the will of the Lord for your life. Lord, what do you want for me to do? Can I do something at the church? Can I do something for my family? Can I help somebody? Can I give my life to the Lord? There are three ways that we know the will of the Lord. One is through His Word. You need to read the Scriptures and read the Scriptures and read the Scriptures and say, Lord, what do you want for me to do? Show me the will of the Lord through the Holy Scriptures. The second thing we know the will of the Lord is the Spirit of the Lord who dwells in us, who constrains us, who lead us into His path. And the third thing is because of the circumstances. God brings circumstances to our lives who opens doors and closes doors. And He just opens. He has the keys. Revelation chapter 3. He holds the keys. I remember one time we arrived to the camp. And we arrived there. And we saw a lot of cars and a lot of people standing outside. And I arrived with my car and say, what's happening? I say, does anybody has the keys? Oh, we are waiting for the key to open the door. Just a simple thing. I say, Lord, you hold the keys. Open the doors and closes the doors. And so the Apostle Paul was that man. He was saying, I am ready to preach the gospel. And the reason why it was because in verse 16 give us the third one. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember what the book of Hebrews says, that He is not ashamed to call us brethren. It's amazing. It's amazing. Who can condemn us if God justifies us? If God is with us, who will be against us? And Paul is like saying, no, there is a purpose in my life. I want to preach the gospel because I am not ashamed of what God has done for me at the cross of Calvary. Look at what he's saying in 2 Timothy. It says that in the same way. You open the scriptures. And 1 Timothy. Sorry, 2 Timothy. In chapter 1. Verse 8, he said that to his young son in the faith. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now, it's so good. The other day I was in Panera Bread and I saw a man praying for his food. And he took a while for prayer. He just took a while. He was just standing there with a meal in front of the table, and he was praying. And I said, what a wonderful picture. We live in a 21st century. A man orders a meal by himself, getting a table, put his food there, and he is not ashamed to give thanks to the Lord publicly. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So Paul said to Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Look at what he said, not of me, his prisoner. In verse 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. We are Christians. We are sons of God. God is with us. There are many things, like I said yesterday, that many not good things to say about ourselves. But we have wonderful things to say about our Lord. And we are not ashamed to give testimony of the Lord. So the Apostle Paul was saying, I am a debtor I am ready. I am not ashamed to preach the gospel of Christ. Open doors of great opportunity, circles of influence. The people come to our lives. My wife and I, as you know, we are going to go to Castellar del Vallès, and we pray that that circle will increase. And anybody that will come to that circle will have these three things. I'm adapted to that person. I am ready to preach. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's an open door of testimony. But I would like to conclude with one of the doors that we as Christians want to look for in Revelation chapter 4. This is the door that we are waiting. After this, Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. I don't know what will be the interpretation for some of you, but I think that's the door we are looking for. He will open the door, and we could see the revelation of heaven. And this, while the Lord is opening doors, there is the last door to be opened when we will see all clearly our Lord and all his glory. But before that door is open, there are many little doors of opportunity. And in one of them, we will say, I'm a debtor, I am ready, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm sure that you, in your work, in your place, you can feel that circle in your life. And it would be wonderful if we can go and tell to anybody that will come that we have been embraced by the Lord, and they can also know the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you strong in these last days. And thank you very much for your patience with us. May the Lord bless you.